direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
In John chapter 4, in the aftermath of Jesus' dealing with the woman at the well and giving this adulteress, this divorcee, living water and transforming her, we have a beautiful scene here where she goes out into the city and brings back all of these sinners to meet the one who has changed her life. And I have really unpacked that this week, showing what a transformed life looks like. One who has been given living water, one who has been given the new birth. Jesus is showing what happens when that occurs. The disciples have gone to the same city, and all they have brought back is physical food. Their minds are not on heavenly things. They really have not entered into what Jesus is doing. They're just there. They're floating. They're drifting. So Jesus is now dealing with his disciples. In the meantime, the woman right now is off in the city telling about Christ, telling about the one who saved her. They are bringing this food to Jesus, and the first thing they say is, "Rabbi, eat." Jesus responds, "I have food of which you do not know." They then respond, "Well, when did we give him food?" And Jesus says in verse 34 of John 4, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." So let me summarize. Dear brothers, do you know why I've come? It's not for that food. I don't need to be sustained by the food that you bring to me. Do you know what sustains me? It's the will of him who sent me. It's the work he gave me to do. That is the food, his will. So you know what the disciples are thinking. What is his food? His food endures to everlasting life. The question then is if that food is the Father's will, what is that food? Jesus tells us in John 12, 49, this is really beautiful today. I could unpack this for hours. "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command." The Father gave me a command. The Father gave me his will. This is his food. So what is it? This is what Jesus says here. "That I should say what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command," here it is, "and I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." So here's what sustains me. The Father has sent me to do his will, and that will is my food. That is what sustains me. So the source of my strength, the way I'm sustained, is by my own self-sustaining when I do what he told me to do. What is it? He told me to give eternal life and to be the Savior of the world. I mean, that's the whole emphasis here given. That is what Jesus is saying. The food is to do the Father's will by giving sinners in the world everlasting life. His command for me, says Jesus, is to give that. And I never get life from physical food. I'm not sustained on physical food. I don't need sustaining on anything outside of me. I don't live by that food, but by his command. I am self-sustained when sinners are saved, when I do the work of saving. That is the most beautiful truth, the most powerful truth given here in the Gospels. You know, sinners often doubt the love of God. We tend to characterize the Father as angry and the Son calming him down. No, the Father told the Son to give everlasting life to his people. And that's all the Son cares to do. That's what he's saying. That's my food. That's what's sustaining me as I go forward. His will, completing that will. Now, the disciples, followers of Christ, have not understood his purpose in life, nor their own. Do you think this is a problem today? We have a world perishing out there, and what do we often think about? Food. Our own food, our bellies, or comfortability. We are all about whatever is a convenience to us or what we like. And we see that in the way that the disciples responded to Jesus' dealing with this woman. They were shocked that he was even talking to a woman. She was a divorcee. She is an adulteress. Why should she get grace? You see, it's at this point that Christ corrects their worldliness. Listen to verse 35. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Everyone knows that, right? You plant something and you generally know the harvest is going to come. There's a period of time in there for growth. Everyone knows that. The big moment for the farmer is the time of harvest. That's when they reap. That's when they get the benefit of all the work they put in, you know? And we think like that a lot in the church today. There's a final harvest coming and that's when everyone will reap. I want you to think about what Christ is saying here in this text. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. Now, what did he just say? Did you hear it? You see, right then and there, Jesus opened the spiritual eyes of his disciples to understand something of their real purpose. He totally and completely collapses the sowing and the reaping that, in agricultural terms, has this long interval of time. Because Christ has come on the scene of history, because he has come to give his life, there are eternal implications now. Now is the judgment. Whosoever believe now has passed from death to life. Whoever does not, the wrath of God presently abides on him. What have we entered into? Lift up your eyes, says Jesus. Look at the fields. For they, my friends, are right now white for the harvest. The time of the Protestant Reformation, there was a recovery of what they felt had been so lost, biblical expositional preaching of the Word of God. Here at the Linden United Reformed Church, we are committed to continue that wonderful tradition of preaching the whole counsel of God in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. We would love to have you be a part of our fellowship. The greatest need of our day is bold and unashamed proclamation of the truth. Join us at the Linden United Reformed Church. When Jesus makes this grand statement, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest, he was telling us something about the collapse of time between sowing and reaping. In agricultural terms, that has a great period. Not anymore. This is the wonderful truth of gospel ministry, isn't it? Jesus here is explaining this. Put it all in context. This woman has just been filled with living water. And she is what? She's everything contrary to what the Jews and the disciples expected in terms of who Christ would come and save. He's going to Samaritans. He's going to a woman. He's going to an adulteress. He's going to a divorcee. And he's saving people like that. Contrary, right? To our conventional wisdom. Verse 36 says, he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. We are on a mission, says Jesus, of reaping souls. And you are my reapers, dear disciples. There are sowers out there. And together, when people come in, when they believe in me, we all rejoice together. It's the same purpose, the same design, the same goal. And that's what Jesus says in verse 37. This saying is true. One sows and another reaps. Here's the blessing for you. Jesus is telling his disciples, all the sowing is done. You go reap. Now listen, I sent you to reap that for which you've not labored, says Jesus. Others have labored, and you've entered into their labors. I have sent you to reap. Others have already labored, says Jesus. Who? Well, commentators are all mixed up on this. Could be the prophets, Moses. I mean, you just have the whole gamut of Old Testament possibilities here. Jesus says, they've sown, you enter into the reaping. Now think about it. Christ, who is this? Who has sown? Christ has just saved a Samaritan adulteress, and filled her with living water. What did she go and do right then and there? She dropped her bucket and she ran back into the city. Who is laboring? Who is sowing? Christ and this woman. So put it all in context. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They're already white for the harvest. They're ready for you to reap it. Now, where are your eyes if they're not lifted up? They're on your belly. They're on you. You're navel gazing. You're focusing on all your problems and your life and your idols, your bellies. Get your eyes off your physical food. Get your eyes off your bellies, everything you're worried about. And where should we be focusing? You see, this is a really important point. All we're worried about today is the economy, bank accounts, houses, Twitters, Facebooks. If you get your favorite seat in church, you. That's your food. Jesus is saying, look up. Look at the fields. They're already white for the harvest. White? No crops had white in those days. What's he talking about? For centuries, for years, as you've sat under preaching, you've heard this said, the fields are white for the harvest. What is that? Well, if you were to go Google Samaritans today, you know what you would find? Go Google a Samaritan. You would see Samaritans on Mount Gerizim dressed in white robes. They've done that for thousands of years. Look up! At that very moment when Jesus said that, look up, disciples, enter into their labors. All you've got to do is reap. The sowing's done. You know what happened as they looked up? Off in the distance, there was a whole city coming. And at the front, a wretched half-breed adulteress leading the way. All these white robes were walking to them over the green fields. And that's what's said in verse 40. It picks up again that the Samaritans came to him. There they were. You know, as I think about this, in one way, this is one of the most shameful things I've read in the scriptures. The disciples had already been transformed by Christ. Remember what they did when they first came? They all went running around telling their loved ones and their friends, come see him. Andrew says, we have found the Messiah, and he brought Peter to Jesus. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and all the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, come and see. All these men who just a short time ago were overwhelmed by the love of Christ, who had become followers of Christ, who had met the Messiah in his glory, forgot it. They forgot his person. They forgot who they were, why they were there, why they were following. And all they were worried about was themselves and their food. And what had just happened? They went into a whole city of Samaritans, and all they brought out is physical food. And one rebel half-breed adulteress had just gone, within a short time told the city she has sown with Christ. And they now are being called to enter into that labor. Remember what she said? Come, see a man. They once were telling others, come, see a man. Dear friend, are you a Christian today? I announce, come, see a man. And when you've seen him, you will go out and tell him to others. Abounding Grace Radio was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. A church we are where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we do give you a sincere invite to please come and join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. We'd love to get to know you, who you are, and if you have any questions for us. 10 a.m., 7 p.m., website is lindenurc.com. There's a blog there also for you to interact with the messages. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.